to creating sci-fi and fantasy, an inside look, a podcast dedicated to understanding the inspiration and creation of sci-fi, fantasy, and comic books. Thank you and enjoy. I'm here at MAGFest with writer Robin C. Farrell. Thank you for speaking with me.
Sure.
I'd like to start by asking, this is your first work. I was going to ask, is there a work here you're most proud of and why? But you said you also did a screenwriting for the piece, and then you converted it to a novel. So tell me about that.
Yeah, well, my background is actually in filmmaking. That's actually what I went to college for. But I got interested in being creative by, I started as prose. So this book is Resistance Rising, a genre wars novel. And it's my first novel, but right now it's my only novel, but it's, I'm really pretty proud of it. Mm-hmm. And it started as a screenplay, and then I adapted it into a prose novel.
So tell me about the idea behind it.
It started as an online film competition created by Ron Newcomb, who's a Virginia-based filmmaker, and that evolved into an independent web series called Genre Wars, and that's currently in post-production. But evolved into this novel, which is a companion piece to the web series.
Okay, and you were talking about the. So the idea you're exploring is people with different roles and genres coming together?
The contest started as sort of a Deadliest Warrior kind of inspired thing of take two different genre types and personify them and have them fight each other. And the idea originally was to get, independent filmmakers out and creating and to kind of unify the sort of Virginia, the DMV, the DC, Maryland, Virginia filmmaker community together. And, the team that I joined, led by Justin Moe, he had all these really interesting ideas, which was to create these cultures behind that and create kind of a, having all these cultures exist in one space and creating kind of a council. And that just got my imagination soaring. I just thought it was such an interesting concept to take these genre differences and think of them as cultural differences. I just thought that was such an interesting idea to actually, and put so many in the same space as opposed to just sci-fi and fantasy or just steampunk and western or, this or that, have them all coexisting. So, the basic premise of the story is that you have this world at war. Peace has been shattered between these different nations, quite literally, and the story then follows this group of characters from these different backgrounds trying to overcome their cultural differences and their cultural bias against one another to reclaim peace for their world. And so through that, you get all these interesting battle sequences, these fight scenes, and action, but then you also get these really charged character interactions and fierce banter between them with a smattering of political intrigue. So it has a lot left over from the visual medium and from how it started, but it also really takes, I really tried to take advantage of the prose and the different medium of the novel.
So is it, you said it's a web series, or is it?
It's in post-production right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not sure when it'll be finished, but.
Okay. But your novel is finished.
Yeah, the novel's finished, and it is a standalone right now. It is a standalone novel. It could potentially continue into another book, potentially a series, but I'm, as a reader, I'm a pretty big reader as well, so I always like it when, if there is potentially a series, that, the first one still has a nice solid conclusion.
Right.
So I really tried to bring that to this. So it does conclude, it has a nice solid conclusion, but it could continue.
And the title, I don't think we mentioned it, Resistance Rising, a Genre Wars Novel.
Yes.
How do you know when a piece of writing is finished?
Well, I work for Duo Media Productions, which is a Maryland-based video production company, and Brian Pennington, who I work with, he has this phrase of, you're never done, you just run out of time.
Yeah.
And so for me it was trying to figure out, you know, I could have continued to work on this, but it was just, I think, just intuitively. Being my first novel, I don't really know that I have a whole lot that I can really say as far as, like, universally how you know when something's finished, but I know in my film work, a lot of it has to do also with getting feedback. I mean, I had a couple different beta readers on this, and, you know, I really tried to utilize whatever I could get from them. But also, I just, you know, there was a sense of I knew that I was kind of ready to, I was ready to move on to a new project. So it was knowing that I was proud of this was in a good place, but I also was kind of eager to start, to fall in love with a new project, so to speak.
So what inspires you?
Oh, gosh.
And that could either be what inspires you to keep working, or what things out there inspire your creativity?
I mean, I think my go-to answer, I guess, would be I'm really inspired by character. I'm definitely more of a character-driven person, both as an audience member, but also as a creative. I find that, you know, like, for example, an episode of Doctor Who that doesn't necessarily have the most complicated plot necessarily, but has a lot of character development, I'll take that over, you know, a really convoluted plot, you know, because I really like the characters. You know, that's what drew me into Doctor Who, and that's what drew me into most of the fandoms that I'm in.
Yeah.
So I think just, and I guess this is gonna sound so trite, but possibility, if that makes sense. You know, like I'm a beginning cosplayer, and I really like when I have a steampunk aerial that I do, and I find that, you know, thinking of future cosplays, it's the idea of how can I take something and make it unique, and you know, what possibilities can you put together? And, you know, Genre Wars, for example, is all about the possibility of, you know, what if you took these different genre types and put them together and actually really thought about why, you know, as opposed to just, well, yeah, have them fight, you know, actually kind of think about, well, why would they share the same space, and why would they coexist?
So, just touching on the cosplay, I was curious, do you design your own costumes, or do you put them together? You know, do you make them, or sort of? I know it's just right?
Yeah, I only really have a couple. I'm not terribly good at sewing.
Yeah.
So most of what I do is actually, I'm one of those cosplayers that actually does a lot of just assembling of different pieces.
Okay.
Which is really challenging. That's actually one of my resolutions for 2018, is to really buckle down and, no pun intended, and, and, you know, really get take some serious classes in sewing, just to really perfect those skills so that I can level up, as it were, to make cosplay a little bit more accessible. Because I do find that there are ideas that I have. I saw a piece of fan art at AwesomeCon last year that had to do with, it was a Green Lantern Princess Leia, and I thought that was just so genius. I can't remember the artist's name off the top of my head, but I loved it. I thought it was such a great idea. So, like, something like that, I can't put that together with just different pieces. So I have to, you know, and I really want to do that. So, in order to do that, I have to level up. I have to expand my knowledge base.
So how do you know, as far as your costumes, how do you know when those are finished? Do you need every piece in place, or are you?
I think in the case of the cosplay, I try to really have a solid vision of what I want when I start, which is very different from the writing process.
Yeah.
I think so. I try to follow that, whatever my initial idea is. If I get inspired along the way, then it just kind of becomes, when does it feel right? And again, kind of intuitively. But my steampunk aerial, for example, I knew that I wanted something purple. But I didn't. I remember the convention I was going to at the time. I think it was Baltimore Comic Con. I wasn't able to get the right shirt, so I ended up just doing kind of it was just a white blouse that looked fairly Victorian, and but because I didn't have that purple, a lot of people thought I was a steampunk version of Mira from Aquaman. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, because I'm not actually, I don't know Aquaman that well, but like one of the, in the DC Bombshells series, they thought I was from that, and so I, so that was definitely an indication, this is not finished, I need to make some changes. And I just had leggings on at that point, so since then I've added a skirt with a bustle and all that, so. So again, feedback from other people at conventions, because I love the community at, you know, in, at these conventions, I love that. That's my favorite part. Yeah. So
it's more of an impressionistic costume in a sense, not like perfect in details of, in a sense.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, there are little things that I really like having in that costume, but I wanted to work in the Dingle Hopper somewhere, and that's changed a couple of times. But yeah, I would say impressionistic. Yeah, yeah. Overall look. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So as far as the writing, what is your most important writing tool? Is there something special you need in your workspace?
Yes, and I would say atmosphere. Mm-hmm. When I was finishing, I find that it's really hard for me to just kind of sit down and write for 10 minutes. I really need to be in the right headspace. I've often compared like a serious writing session or writing focused to like settling into a warm bath, because it's really about getting into the right headspace for it. So I have trouble with the, you know, and I think writing is different for everybody. So I've tried a lot of the suggestions of write for 10 minutes every day. I can't do it, because 10 minutes is, I'm barely starting to get into the, you know, tapping the surface. It's, you know, it's like, you know, turning on the hot water on a cold day. You know, you need to let the pipes warm up, so to speak. You know, like and a lot of that is again the atmosphere. I like to be in a place that's quiet, or I won't use music necessarily, but I'll use sounds. I use Spotify, and I'll just put on different sounds of whatever, you know, wherever the characters are. If, you know, when in Resistance Rising, there's a whole sequence that takes place at night, so I would have either like a crackling fire at night, or summer sounds at night, you know, wood sounds and things like that, birds. You know, that really helps me get into being in the same space as the characters. But I'm also in the film and production, so part of that is the sensory, you know, the sensory details.
Hmm. So is that similar things with your, when you're designing or putting together a cosplay costume? Same kind of workspace situation, or totally different?
Kind of different. I guess I'm still figuring that out, because I'm still so kind of, you know, new to cosplay, but I know my friend and I are yesterday we did a Miguel and Tulio from The Road to El Dorado. We did a take on that. So I honestly, I guess I don't really have a workspace, I guess, but I do watching whatever whatever I'm cosplaying, just watching it over and over and over again. Usually, most of the time, it's been movies. So, just watching the films over and over again, or listening to the soundtracks. Sometimes I'm a perfectionist, so sometimes I will, you know, kind of get too much in my own head. So sometimes I'll put on like a comedy album, of a comedian that I like, to help kind of lighten my mood. Or a podcast that I, especially one that I might have already listened to, an episode I've already listened to. To help kind of bring some levity, you know, so I don't get too bogged down in, you know, this is difficult, or, you know, I'm not good at, you know, this isn't good enough yet, or, you know, I'm not skilled enough in this yet, you know, or whatever. I guess I'm still figuring that out.
All right. Is there an element of writing you enjoy working with most, and why?
I think for me, I enjoy, it's really tough, but I enjoy the balance, going back and forth between the different mediums and figuring out how that works. Mm. And
between the film,
yeah, the,
and
yeah,
what you're putting on paper.
Yeah, the cinematic approach, the screenwriting approach versus the prose. Mm. Just because I remember I'd gotten away from prose for a long time. I was pretty much just doing film, and, you know, having to go back in and add in inner monologue was really tough because I wasn't used to it.
Right.
So I guess that, yeah, I guess that even boils down more overall to just finding the voice and figuring out what the tone is in whatever medium I'm working in.
Mm. So what about cosplay? What element there do you enjoy the most? And that could be either with the design or actually performing cosplay, being out there.
I really like getting, you know, the performing, because I would classify myself as an extroverted introvert, because I'm really very much an introvert, which is why it's so odd that I do cosplay, because it's very much putting yourself out there.
Right.
But I like being kind of really getting into the headspace of the character, whoever I, you know, the steampunk Ariel, I've, you know, whipped up a whole, you know, alternate storyline for why she's, you know, why she's in, you know, human form, or, you know, and stuff, and, you know, no one will ever know that but me.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess because I'm a writer, I like thinking about the story behind things, so, you know, kind of getting to be that character for a while is really fun.
Well, can you tell me, like, any quick backstory for, just any little tidbits?
My thought was that, sort of in an alternate approach, Ariel somehow got a hold of the trident and defeated Ursula herself. So, which is why, because I carry around a trident, so that's why she has it, and because of that, she, Triton named her heir to Atlantica, so, you know, someone asked me at one point, they said, well, what about Eric? And I said, well, she and Eric kind of co-rule, you know, and because she has the trident, she is able to turn herself into a human and into a mermaid at her leisure.
Yeah.
So she's able to kind of be in both, best of both worlds kind of thing.
Independent.
Exactly.
And people question that. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Well, I mean, I think the few friends that I've told that to are kind of like, that's kind of neat, because then she doesn't get married at 16. So, yeah, which is kind of nice to hear that. Like, oh yeah, I like that.
Yeah. How did you start writing, and why do you write?
I've always been really into just books and storytelling. I remember when I was, I really like adaptation, so I've always found that fascinating, both from a book standpoint, but also like book to film, and just across the board. So I remember the first story I wrote was in sixth grade, and it was a mystery story. I've actually been trying to find that original, that first thing I wrote recently, and I can't find it. I'm hoping it's around somewhere. I don't know. It just kind of, I would classify myself as a pantser, as a writer. I write by the seat of my pants, because I don't really follow a formula in a lot of ways. I just kind of sit down and it comes out. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of how I got started. I just, an idea hit me and I just started writing. There wasn't a lot of thought involved. It was just there it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been honing it ever since.
And now the cosplay, how did you start? I don't know if you've gone into detail about how you started.
I was always really into Halloween. My mom was a big influence in that regard. She would always get really in, you know, she and I would team up and she would make my costumes every year. So when I was in elementary school and middle school, I was, I tended to have the best costume because it was really intricate. And because a lot of times, you know, I'm super sensitive to cold, so we always went out of our way to try to make sure that I'd be warm.
Uh-huh.
So that, I think, was what kind of prompted the creating, you know, specific costumes to whatever the, you know, we were trying to, you know, manipulating whatever the look was. You know, I was Belle one year for Halloween, and, you know, it was the ballroom dress, and she has the, you know, she's basically sleeveless dress, and it's, you know, it's the end of October, you know, like, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
So we came up with some alternate looks for that, and then as I got older, you know, trick-or-treating became, not only was it not, you know, quote, cool anymore, but it also wasn't really as fun as it used to be, so I was kind of looking for a new way to kind of experience that dressing up and that creativity. of putting a costume together.
Right.
And going out and being in a community, because to me that was a big part of the fun of trick-or-treating as a kid, was having that interaction with other kids in costume and having people at the door say, oh, I love your costume, you know? So I was just out of college and I started getting, I was making some friends post-college and they were into cosplay. And it was this sort of, you know, the choir... Choir singing started, and I went, oh, there's this whole other way I can do that as an adult, and that was cool.
Yeah.
So
in your writing, are you very, you talk about the outfits of your characters much? Do you focus on that a lot?
You know, that's a really good question. I would never think of that. I'm not entirely sure. I think to some degree, at least with this story, with Resistance Rising, because there is such an emphasis on how the cultures are so different, there's a little bit of that. There's a mech pilot, so I talk about his armor and things like that. But something I did try very hard to do in writing this was not make it seem like it's an RPG situation,
right.
or like it is a gaming setup. That I wanted to make sure they were real, breathing cultures, you know. So there's one point where someone realizes that he's not wearing his full armor. He just has on, you know, a male shirt, but he doesn't have on his plate armor, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
So I don't think so necessarily. Yeah. They feel kind of independent, but maybe, I don't know. Someone would have to read the book and tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of details about color, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm also a filmmaker, so I think visually anyway, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, so. Probably.
How did your first professional success, say, at filmmaking, or... And define that however you want, you know, when you really feel like you made it. How did that change your process?
I think I would probably... For me, my biggest personal success was being able to do what I love full time. Like I said, I'm a video editor, and working full time professionally in my chosen field, it's such a privilege to be able to do that. And I think for me, on a personal level, that was just very validating in terms of the creative side of who I am. It's viable. It's something I can do. I can make a living doing it. When I have trouble taking praise a lot of the time, just in terms of accepting that, you know, that I'm, that, you know, my editing skills are good, you know, so I'm working on how to accept praise a lot of the time. But having this team, you know, professional team around me, you know, go, yeah, we want to hire you to do what you do full time, you know, not just freelance and not just here and there, but full time. That I think also helped me push me to take more risks with cosplay, to go ahead and then, as far as the book is concerned, you know, working on the web series and putting this out to beta readers and having them say, this is good, you know, yeah, I think you should finish this novel. I'd like to see where it goes. Both in its reception, but also in terms of its future, like the story's future. That just, it's very, like I said, it's very validating.
So do you think, does that mean you're more willing to take risks now that you feel like your stuff is good for, you know, people enjoy it, you know?
Just being here at MAGFest, just, you know, having this table, you know, I wasn't sure, is this even worth doing? I don't know, but, you know, having people read the book and tell me they enjoy it, you know, that's pretty great. And I think it pushes me to do stuff like this.
What role does the writer, actually I'll ask both, what role does the writer and the cosplayer have in society?
Ooh. Well, I mean, I think storytelling takes a lot of different forms, so I think, you know, we always need escapism, but we always need hard looks at truths of our society, reflection back at ourselves. And I think that it's important to have both. And so I think there's always going to be some form of that, no matter where. I think a lot of times, especially in fantasy, it is mostly seen as escapism. But I think a lot of times you get high escapism, which is self-reflective, and I think we need that. You know, I don't think that escapism is a bad thing. And I think fan culture, which sort of overlaps with cosplay, I think it is changing in that it's becoming more mainstream, but I think just in general it's becoming more acceptable. You know, there's the stigma around fan culture and fandom and cosplay, I think, is starting to ebb away a little bit, which I think is fantastic. And I think we're seeing a real change in that. And I think that's wonderful, because I think cosplay and fan culture, it isn't just something that millennials can do. You know, I love seeing all the different generations that are here at these conventions, you know, and I think people outside of cosplay culture and, you know, fandom culture don't necessarily realize that. And I really like that, you know. So I think we're seeing a big shift right now in what exactly those roles are.
And you said, and I guess also in your novel, you discuss how different cultures deal with each other. So I guess you're also, it would seem that you would think that your role also is to provide messages or understanding of some kind.
I didn't necessarily set out to do that on purpose.
Yeah.
But I think just because of, you know, what we've got going on just in our own world, it came out.
Okay.
And but like I said, I found that really interesting to kind of look at, yeah, what if you did put these different cultures, what if you took these different genres and thought of them as cultures? And immediately that's just kind of what naturally came.
Yeah.
There's a hint of, there's the, you know, the hint of authenticity to it, right?
Yeah. What movies, books, artwork, or other creative media in science fiction or fantasy have inspired your work?
Probably my biggest influence as far as the type of style that I like is the Vlad Taltosh novels by Stephen Brust. I really love those. I'm rereading that series right now. And I just love his style. I love Brust's style in those books. And I think that's the kind of tone and style that I aspire to. But I also really, really love the David Eddings' Belgariad and Malorian series, just in terms of the way that he approached fantasy cultures, because that was the first time, the first books that I read where you had the different fantasy cultures, but it wasn't elves, dwarves, men, you know, it was just different variations on the same types of people, which felt more authentic. So I really liked that, and I would go back for inspiration there. And also Megan Whalen-Turner's Queen's Thief series, because of the world-building aspect that she has. It's fantasy, but it's heavily inspired by the Greco-Roman mythology. So, which I feel like in traditional fantasy you don't see that as often. It's usually more your English, more Christian, more monotheistic as opposed to polytheistic, and it's just, the culture in that is so thorough. It's beautiful. I love it.
Oh, that's a good point, though. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
It's really good. Highly recommend it.
All right. Is there something, so we'll do writing and cosplay, is there something you'd especially like to write but haven't done so yet, and what is it?
With writing, I would say I've just barely scratched the surface. Like, just doing it more, you know. Finishing this first novel was a pretty big goal. You know, my 11-year-old self is very happy. As far as cosplay goes, I've got, you know, a couple different goals that I'd love to accomplish at some point. Like I was saying earlier, you know, doing more of the actual tactile sewing and making myself. That's a pretty big thing I'd like to tackle.
So when you, just to touch on the film, you said you studied filmmaking. What part of filmmaking did you like the most? The creating the films, or like the props, sets, talent, you know, all that?
Obviously I'm a writer, so I enjoy the pre-production, the development side of things.
Yeah.
When working on the web series, I realized that I actually have a pretty solid knack for production management, so that's something I'm trying to explore more. But and then obviously going out into the professional side of things, the professional world. I thought I would, you know, they drill into you in film school about production, you know, try to get freelance production. But I found that for me, really where I was able to get a lot of work was both as a script supervisor, which is on production, but also in the editing. And then that's now that's what I do. So that was kind of a journey figuring that out. But I think both on the pre-production and the post-production side of things, it comes down to story. You know, I'm not a visual effects editor. I can do that. And I'm continuing to learn that. But, you know, I'm really a story editor. So, yeah, I think it's writing and it's editing. Which I think is then translates to to the writing side, too.
Right. Well, where can they find your novel online?
So the novel is available on Amazon. Again, the title is Resistance Rising, a genre wars novel. And there's links to it on my website, which is robincfarrell.com. And I've got all my social media stuff on there. There's, on my website, too, there's lots of behind-the-scenes footage of how we made the series and the development of the series. And there's, which I put all those together. Okay. Because I'm an editor.
Right.
There's interviews with me and Justin Moe, who I co-wrote the story with and did the series with. And there's more information about the cover artist, Anna Marie C. Mickey. And I love the cover art. So I love it. It's so great. And
it's really good.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty much everything can be found on my website.
So I'll spell that for the listeners. It's RobinC. FARRELL.com.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. That's correct.
Well, thank you for speaking with me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Please visit ChrisAlvarez.com for more cool stuff. You can also find my website and social media information in the podcast show notes. Thanks for listening and keep imagining the future.